I was born in Dorset, in a village, 66 years ago, so not surrounded by much technology. It was an idyllic childhood in the sense of security and safeness. But I always felt not the same as everybody else, to the extent that I thought I didn't even belong to my parents, because I knew something wasn't right about me. And at first I thought, oh, I haven't got a penis. Oh, that's a bit strange. And I looked at my friends, I was about 5 or 6, and I thought, oh, David, when mine grows, it's going to be much bigger than yours. I didn't want his, so I didn't envy his, but I knew when mine would grow. And that went with me for the early stages of my life, that something was missing, something was wrong. And I never fitted in with people. I was big, but a lot of people were big, and I got a lot of teasing, and I just didn't know how to behave as a girl. Not socially, I didn't feel like a girl. I felt most comfortable with boys, and I could relate to boys. So I was expecting this penis to arrive, and it didn't arrive. And when I got a little bit older, I was about 8, I remembered one of my aunties, Auntie Daisy. She'd been there when I'd been born. I thought, she'll know if it was me that was born. And then I'll find out.
What do you mean by that?
That I thought something was wrong because I didn't fit in and this penis hadn't arrived. So in my mind, at that age and at that time, I thought maybe I'm not the baby that was born.
Right.
That something had happened to me, that something had gone wrong with my penis, right? That perhaps there'd been an accident when I was born. And I remember saying to her, were you there when I was born? And she looked at me, yeah. She said, I was. I said, so you saw me then? And everything was all right. Yeah, she said, apart from it was cold and, you know, and I was born at home and it was February. And I thought, that's a bit strange. And in my mind it was, well, oh, that's okay, so it's not that, so it's going to grow. And so onward through my first 11, 12 years of life, I didn't fit in with anybody. It wasn't merely a question of teasing, it was a question that, according to the gender, I was not a girl. You know, my thoughts were not in any way girl-related. I'm not talking about being a tomboy. I'm talking about no at all, nothing. There was nothing feminine about my psyche, you know, and obviously my body hadn't developed. So I can remember to this day, God help me, that one day I woke up and I thought, this is it then. And my penis is not going to grow. I guess I'll have to pretend to be a girl then. So I went back to the doctor and she sent me on to a psychiatrist who had a regular slot in Woking, you know. So that was quite good. And I went to see her and she wanted, really, I said the same as what I said to you. And she said, absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind you are, so I'm going to send you forward to Charing Cross Hospital. And I thought, oh, lovely, London, back to London again. And part of me said, well, actually, this is what I am now, so why have I got to go and prove to somebody that I am? Because that's what it makes. I have to prove what I am to get some kind of treatment to help me live quietly, because I still had a female voice, and of course, so much, you know, and it was quite dangerous. Because, you know, I was going into men's loos, and it was quite, although I loved that, you know, and I soon learned the etiquette of it, and I felt at home in men's loos, although I was a bit uncertain, you know, about going in there, because I was transitioning in my hometown. I soon learned where I could go easily and where it was difficult to go. So I got my appointment. Oh, very, very quickly. From the time, I think my doctor saw me in April, and by the time I got to Charing Cross, it was only like September, very, very quickly. And I got an appointment to see Professor Richard Green. He's a great sexologist and really the expert on transgender, he's American, and came to live and work at a gender identity clinic, you know. So I saw him, and then he said, okay, and then I had to see another psychiatrist at the same clinic, but a different day. Then they get together and work out whether they believe you, you know, or they confirm that you are transsexual, transgender. And that was it, yeah. Professor Green said, yeah, that's it, you know, we'll get you started on treatment now. And I was like, oh, you know what I mean. And he said to me, you must have your name changed. I said, I've already done it. And he laughed, because I knew what I was, do you understand? I don't know how I would have got on if they'd said you can't have any treatment. But I'd already changed my name, because that was me. You know, when I went out first time closed, that was me. It was like putting the last piece in the jigsaw puzzle. That was me. Because in a way, Charing Cross Hospital was my emotional home. You know, that was the place where, after all these years, I've been confirmed that I am me. You know, that it's very quite sad. I still get quite emotional about it. Probably doesn't sound it, but I do. It was a place where all those times when I was on my own and sad, trying to work out kind of where I belonged and what I'd done wrong and why I had never got anywhere, not achieved what I wanted to achieve, all of that. It was like, doesn't matter now, because this is you. This is you. So it was, once it was like being reborn, but it was great. It's like a mecca for me. It's, well, Westminster Abbey, it's a bit like the place where I knew. And I used to feel so full of rightness when I came out. I used to swagger because, and it was, I used to feel so, so good. And what I do now, I haven't done it, but I'm due to do it again shortly, is it periods through that time, throughout the time when I stopped going, which I suppose is, I think I'm probably about 18 years old now. You know, I'm 18 years old. And in some ways, I am 18 years old. Yeah. At certain points, we'll go back the same journey. And I walk around and they move the department. So I go in the main hospital where we used to be to the outside place, or, you know, the section outside they are now. And I just walk and I remember how I felt. And that to me is the... that's a real lump in the throat time for me. You know, and because, although I am now what I should have been all my life's gone. Do you know what I mean? And I'm struggling now to get whatever God gives me, to be and behave like I am.